So there I was in the middle of Bethlehem, and I was walking down the main street, and I saw this hardware store, and I needed something, so I went in and grabbed the thing I needed, went to the desk, and there was a man there in his 70s, and he was looking at the screen, and I asked him, so what's going on in the news today? He says, well, everything's, you know, we've got so many problems up in the north, it's terrible right now. And I said to him, well, you know, there are going to be problems until Jesus Christ comes back. And he said, oh, you're a Christian. He says, be careful, be careful. I said, please tell me, what do I need to be careful about? So I sit with him and we begin to chat about God. And it was a wonderful experience to be with him. And I'll share the rest of that story later. But I wanted to tell you that it is a joy for my wife and I and our kids to be here. We have 6 of the 9 with us. And just a little update, Isaiah, who many of you have met, he is out, actually he's living in Oklahoma City, visiting Sonoma County for a couple days, but he's out there in Oklahoma City normally. Zephaniah, my second son, he's 21, he's out in Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri, going to Calvary University because he loves the humidity. Ezra, our 19-year-old, he's just finished his associate's degree. He's somewhere around here. So thank you for all your prayers for us over the years. And it's a joy to just come and share with you what God has been doing, especially this last season we were overseas. So as some of you know, we speak Arabic. We live part of the year in the Middle East, part of the year in Europe, working with refugees. Occasionally we get to North Africa, and then we come back to the States for medical appointments. One of my daughters has some medical needs, so we come back regularly for that. And this morning, I wanted to just talk with you about, you know, you've been going through John, the Gospel of John. What a great book. Some argue it's the best gospel because we get to see this beautiful view of the Lord Jesus Christ in a new way. We see him in Matthew, Mark, and Luke in a beautiful way as well, but a great, great gospel. And Pastor Chris was telling me that if I could just focus on one verse, that would be great, and so I will. I'm going to focus on John 3:16. And the topic today is three dark rooms. Because we're going to talk about three different rooms in the world. The dark room of Europe, the dark room of the Middle East, and the very dark room of America. These are places that we love, and we love to minister, but we need to be a light in those rooms. And I'm hoping that we just stir our faith to have compassion for those who have not received the love of God yet. Just have a heart for them and to remember them and to share stories from the field. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time this morning to think about you and your work around the world and your love even for the people we might be tempted to reject. But God, you love every single soul you have made. So Lord, I pray you would stir our hearts to have a heart of compassion for the lost, just like your heart is. In Jesus' name, amen. So, John 3:16, hopefully all of us have memorized it. That was the first verse I memorized anyway. And it begins with this phrase, for God so loved. That's how it begins in many translations. And the reason it says so loved is because the word for unconditional love, unmerited love is there. And it's that God so loved. In the Greek, the verb is used at first, before the pronoun, before God. And so it's emphatic. And when we read something in Scripture, just even one time, do you know that God so loves you? It's an emphatic, unconditional love for you and for this world. Not on your merit, but because He loves you. And that's how that verse begins. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. So He gave His Son to you. And what do you do if someone gives you a gift? If it's on the table there for you? You got to receive it. And how do you receive this gift of the Son? You receive it by prayer. You open your heart and you say, God, I am so glad you love me. Thank you for loving me. And I receive this one you sent, the Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome him by prayer, by talking to him and receiving him into your life. So he gave his one and only son. Monogenes is the Greek word for one and only. Mana meaning one. Genes, one of a genus, one of a kind. You could even translate one of its kind. Jesus is a one of a kind. He is not like anyone else. He is, as other verses in John explain, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. And through him, through this Word, all things came into being, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as this monogenes, one-of-a-kind son, full of grace and truth. So Jesus Christ is God. He is one with the Father and the Spirit. And I want to share a little more about that in a little while, but this is John 3:16, that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever, that excludes no one, whosoever believes in him will not perish. And that is this idea that you can perish. Not only we're talking perish right here and now, we all maybe have 80, 90, maybe stretch it to 100, maybe a few get over 100. We're all, yes, we are all going to perish because of the fall. But we're talking about eternal separation from God. That's real perishing. And the Bible says that your sin separates you from God. Your sin has separated you from God. That's what the Bible teaches. So eternally, then you can perish and be separated from God forever. And what is that? It's the opposite of everything good. The descriptions of that separation are clear in Scripture. God is light, separation is pitch dark. And you could think of every other good thing, and separation from him is every bad thing. But you can reject him. But he's saying that God gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him, to trust in him, to have that relationship where you've welcomed him into your life, whoever believes in him should not perish, shall not perish. And we're talking about eternal perish, but have eternal life. And that is the gift. That is the wonderful gift, the wonderful hope, the wonderful message that we have to give the world. And so a mailman, or as my mom was a mail lady, mail carrier, they bring a message. They bring messages for you. Some of it's junk. But we prepare souls for eternity. We have a message that prepares souls for eternity. There's no higher message than to know your Creator, the one who made every strand of your DNA, the one who ordered the universe, who set into motion the galaxies. And we still don't understand all that we have in this universe. The God of wonder, he loves you. He so loves you that he would give Jesus Christ to die for your sins. What a beautiful verse. And so now this verse is like a candle. It's a lamp. It's a light for us to bring to the world, to a very dark world. And so I wanted to share some stories from our very dark world that is in desperate need to know that God loves them unconditionally and welcomes them. And before I go any further, there's also one other thing he requires. He requires you to repent, so you know. What does it mean? It means to rethink, to rethink. One of the things you need to rethink is that God does love you, even though you've messed up. He does love you. And he wants you to leave. Repentance means to leave that which is destroying you and that which is destroying others. You can get involved in so much that destroys you. He says, leave that. And it's destroying, by the way, when you think, oh, that's just affecting me. No, it's affecting every single relationship you have. So he wants to heal you. He wants to bring you back into a relationship. But it does require you as well to receive him and to begin to make progress, not perfection. We will meet perfection someday, but progress towards that new life that he's going to give you the power to live. Okay, let's get to some stories of this dark world. We we're so blessed. We've been ministering to Arabic speakers for decades. My wife over 30 years, for me over 20 years. And we love Muslims. The harder the Muslim, the more I love them, actually. Yes, terrorists I've met, God loves them, by the way. Do you know Paul, who was first Saul in the New Testament, was a terrorist? And you know what the Lord Jesus Christ did to him? He got a hold of him. And this man who did, I mean, he was involved in terrorist activities, murdering Christians. He turns his life over to the Lord. So God even loves those who think, oh, who could love them? No, God loves them. So, again, going back to this story of the dark room of Europe, when we first got there about 13 years back, we were invited to be a part of a church in France. And I, by the way, some of you have been to France, and you know the people there. They have a reputation. In fact, one of my French friends, he told me this joke. He was a French guy. He said, William, when God made the entire world, he made France the most beautiful country of all. And everyone else said, hey, that's not fair. And so God made the French people. If you're French, that's not my joke. It's someone else's. But we love the French. God even loves the French. And so we got there, and a church invited us to come alongside, help them minister. So we were reaching out to Arabic speakers in the neighborhood. We were reaching out to the local French. And they said, William, there's a Bible study for the young adults. Would you come? We said, absolutely. So we show up one evening, and there was the Bible study leader. And he had a map on the screen of all these trails leading to the center of the map. And he says, you see here, there are many ways to get to God. And I thought, oh my goodness. I said to myself, Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way. So what's this many ways? I was confused. What is he talking about? And then he said, we're having a study tonight and we're going to talk about the Bible. Who knows something about the Bible? This one young man was from out of town. He said, I've just memorized the books of the Bible. And they all looked at him and said, why did you do that? I'm thinking, is this a Bible study or where am I? And then one of them said, yeah, there's all kinds of things contradictory in the Bible. There's wife beating in the Bible. I'm like, what on earth? There is nothing of the sort. I know in Islam, there's a verse about you can beat your wife, but that's Islam. Like, what are we talking about? They're confusing these religions together. And so there was this strangeness. And I'm like, this is not a real Bible study. This is really bizarre. And at the end, the leader of the Bible study said, yes, and of course we know that Jesus really isn't the Son of God. Now, at that point, my wife has been hitting my leg. Say something, William. Say. And so I raised my hand at that point. I'm like, guys, no, he is the Son of God. And you asked why we study the Bible, and I want to tell you why. We do it because of love. I said, if you love someone, you want to read the letter they've written you. If you love someone, you want to hear their voice. You want to spend time with them. And that's what we do when we open the Bible. This is the letter from God to us. We want to read it because we love him. That's it. And I began to explain that, no, he is the Son of God, and explain that these verses explain what that means. At the end, the Bible leader came up to me and he said, William, you seem to know a lot about the Bible. Would you like to teach next time? I'm like, yeah, I would actually. That'd be fine with me. So the next meeting was 3 weeks away, and I showed up at the meeting. And I just simply talked about prayer, and I talked about having a relationship with God. And as I closed in prayer, one of the guys, the young guys at the meeting, he left and he was so upset. He says, this is too much. I'm never coming back here. And this guy's name was Nicola. And I knew there was something wrong in Nicola's life. He talked about having a lot of dark thoughts. And I knew that, but I didn't know exactly what was going on. Well, we ended up leaving some weeks later, coming back to the States for a short time, and then returning to France. When we returned, someone said, William, Nicola, he's become a Christian. And I said, yeah, we'll see about that. Last I heard, he wasn't interested at all. And then someone else in the church said, William, Nicola's become a Christian. I thought, okay, I've got to see this for myself. This is good news. So I walk up the stairs to the Bible study that week, open the screen door, and there's Nicola sitting there with the Bible open on his lap, and his whole face was, I can't explain it. It's like a new person. And he full of peace, full of joy, full of light. And I was like, wow, he has become a believer. He told me that he grew up in the occult. He grew up basically with this witchcraft religion that's actually all over France. Did you know there are more witch doctors and occult workers in France than actual doctors? Yeah, that's pretty scary. And it affects every level of society. So he grew up in that. Then he brought his brother the message, and his brother believed and was delivered from demons. He brought the message of light to his sister, that God so loves you, he said, Jesus. And she believed. And his whole family began to have this revolution of faith in Christ and freedom and joy. So there's so much darkness, but you can be a light and carry this message with you. And by the way, I know there's a phrase about sharing the gospel and sometimes using words. And I respect that. I think we do need to live out our faith. We need to live out love. Because without love, every word you say is nothing. You gain nothing, right? But it's love and speaking the truth. Speaking about the love of God and loving. So speaking the truth in love. And they both go together. And it's not just sometimes. It's speaking about the Lord often. So the dark room of Europe. I could say some more about this. We live in a Dutch village now. The Lord opened the door to Holland for us. So we live in the Netherlands part of every year. And we reach out from there. And it is also a very dark place. In our village, there's absolutely no church. The last churches that were around closed. So in the neighboring town, there's a village that next to us where they have an extreme legalism system. That's one church you can go to, and it's basically you're required to wear black, okay, on Sundays. No, I'm not part of that church. I wear black because I like black, but it's required. You can't come in blue. You can't come in, you know, salmon. Yeah, nice shirt, by the way. You can't have a color at church. Now, tell me where in the Bible it says that, right? This is ridiculous. But that's the legalism church. You can go to that one. Thank God you guys have a wonderful church here. You can wear whatever you want. And the rules go on and on and on. And it's wrong. That's not Christianity. And then the other church is a church that basically has fallen off the cliff into heresy. It's very strange that, you know, there's all kinds of like New Age things. And there's nothing really new about the New Age. It's really old heresy. So you can go to that one and get heresy. In fact, we went to it once. And one of the guys in the church, a Dutch guy, says, wow. He says, sometimes you eat a bunch of dirt in the morning at church. In other words, there's a bunch of heresy going on. We're like, wow. So those are your two choices. There's not a lot else. And yet, even in that very strange place, very dark place of where we are in the Netherlands, God is doing amazing things. There was a girl down the street, and she came to our house when we first moved there. We moved there about a year and a half ago. We moved our stuff in, and we got settled. And a girl from down the street knocks on the door. She said, I hear there are American kids here. Do you want to come play? And so our kids love playing with her and getting to know her. And then one evening, there was an outreach nearby, and someone from Norway was coming to share the gospel with youth. And we took this girl along, Gail from down the street, Dutch girl from down the street. And she went, she heard the gospel and received the Lord. And then we've been doing some Bible studies with her in our home. We've been going through the Gospel of John, a great gospel to go through for someone who's a new believer. And we gave her her first Dutch Bible. So she is super excited. Now she's wearing a cross as a believer, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So God, in the midst of the dark room, puts light. He's put you here. And what I would say is perhaps the hardest county, Sonoma County. And I know, I grew up here. I know it's hard. And yet, may God open doors for you to begin to share about how God gave you peace, to just show love and talk somehow naturally about the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the dark room of Europe. Please keep praying for Europe. What happens in Europe in terms of sharing this message of light over the next 20 years is going to determine the future of Europe forever. This is what missiologists tell us. That there's such a need. And if you feel a need to go to Europe, I want to just encourage you, there is a huge need. May God put it on your heart or in others' hearts to go at this time. So let's move to the dark room of the Middle East. We spend 3 to 6 months a year there. And we're usually overseas during the school year. So if you want to think about when we're over there, it's usually the fall, winter, and spring. Man, it's a messed up place. You know, think about the war in Syria still going on. The dictator there is dictating the deaths of tens of thousands of people. There is an atmosphere of like the Wild West right now, and it's very unruly. If you want to go live in Syria, it's a very unruly place. And yet, in the midst of that, people are leaving, and they're coming to know Christ. We have some friends of ours that we knew from Israel, and they moved to Greece. They don't speak Arabic really well, but they have a heart for Muslims, a heart for Arabic speakers. And they moved to Greece, and many people are coming to their center and wanting to know about Jesus. And so I am, living in Holland, and we're getting settled there, and I get a phone call from our friends now living in Greece. They said, William, there are two Arab guys. We think they're interested in Christianity. We think they're interested in Christ, but we're not sure. Again, they don't speak Arabic well. Would you Zoom call in? I'm like, absolutely. So I Zoom call in, and I see these two guys there in Greece. Here I am in Netherlands. And I asked them, guys, tell me your story. They said, well, we've come from Egypt. One of us is from Iraq. But we've heard so much about Jesus, and we really, really like what we've heard. And I said, wonderful. So I then shared the gospel. And this is how I usually share it. I said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God spoke and said, let there be light. So God used his Spirit and his word, his speech, to start the creation. And then God spent time with the first ancestors, the first humans, and loved them and spent time with them. But then sin entered the world, and it destroyed it. By who? By whose hand? I said, they know the story of Adam. They know the story of Eve. And I said, that's right. They sinned. And it separated them from God, destroyed the relationship with God. And before they left the garden in the story of Eden, God covered them with an animal skin. It says they were covered. And that is the picture of the first sacrifice. A sacrifice covers your sin. And so God sent them out, and he covered them with the sacrifice, but it wasn't the perfect sacrifice because they still had to leave. And so after the time of Abraham and after the time of David, God sent his word again to start a new creation. And Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. And at Jesus' baptism, the Spirit of God descended him upon him as a dove. And so we see that God used his word and his Spirit a second time to start a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. And so I told them that that is what Jesus Christ did. And then I began to speak about the sacrifice of Christ. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus died to become that sacrifice, to cover all your sins as though they never happened. Perfectly covered. And then after 3 days in the grave, Jesus rose from the grave. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, though they die, yet may they live. And those who live believing in me will never die. I said, if you believe in Jesus, to these two Arab men, then you can have eternal life and you can have the forgiveness of your sins. Do you believe this? And they said, yes, we do. And I said, wonderful. I said, you know, again, this is a gift you have to receive. And I said, you have to receive Jesus, this gift. You can't just leave it on the table. I said, do you want to receive Jesus Christ into your hearts? And they both said, yeah. So we prayed this prayer, a very simple prayer. Lord, thank you that you sent Jesus Christ, and we welcome him into our hearts. Thank you that he died for my sins to be forgiven, and that he rose to give me eternal life. I receive this gift. And afterwards, they prayed, and they were so happy. They become new creatures. That's what Jesus does. He makes us new creatures. And the next question was, what about baptism? And I said, let's talk about that next week. So the next week, again, we had a great discussion over Zoom. And I went through Romans chapter 6. That's the great baptism chapter. And they fully understood what it meant. And they were like, we're ready. So a couple weeks later in Greece, we get a photo of them getting baptized. what a joy to have been there and see this connection God wanted there in Europe. And there's a connection there to the dark room of the Middle East. You know, there's a lot of violence. There's a spirit of violence in the Middle East. Probably always has been and may always will be until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. And our landlord, he was beaten almost to death by neighbors. You know what? What was the issue? A parking spot. He asked his neighbors, who are Muslim, if you can move your vehicle from my parking spot to somewhere else. And they nearly beat him to death. They picked up a pipe to beat him. They were just clobbering. But he lived a couple weeks later. I saw this on video. He had it all on video. They took stones and they threw stones into his house, breaking the windows above, windows in his children's rooms, breaking the windows of his car, busting up everything. It's tens of thousands of dollars of damage. And they got a slap on the wrist, basically. And there wasn't much repercussion. Well, this man, he knows what we do, and he loves that we reach out to these Muslims. And we love our landlord. We told him he's not allowed to die for the next many years until we leave, because we love him so much, and he's a great landlord. And so he says, William, would you please come, bring your whole family to my daughter's birthday party? I think she was turning 10. And we said, wonderful, yeah, we'd like to come. He says, William, I want you to share about Jesus with the kids. I thought, thank you, Lord. They may never have received a clear message of the gospel. I think it's probable that they did not. And so there at the birthday party, there were these 9 and 10-year-old girls and other adults around, and I got to share the same gospel. Jesus Christ is the Word of God that became flesh, that He is the Good Shepherd that died for our sins, that He rose from the grave to give us eternal life. Receive Him, you can have eternal life and the forgiveness of your sins. And these girls were listening, and they were really paying attention. And so I pray the seed of faith grows in them, that they can believe and receive that eternal life. Another cool thing happened in the Middle East this year as we were over there. there are two Muslim brothers. They're really tall. They're basketball players. And we met them some years ago. Someone else is discipling them, which is great. Thank God someone's there. They came to Christ separately, so there were about 6 months when they didn't tell each other they were both Christian. And then one day, the brother says at basketball practice, I just got to let you know, I'm a Christian now. And the other brother was so excited, he said, let's go home. And they talked about how they were both believers, and that's a real joy, because mostly you get one believer in the family, and that's it. No one else, and you're very lonely. But they have each other, praise God. And so they said to me, one day we saw them, and they said, William, we have basketball practice for youth and for adults. Would you please come and share the gospel the last 5 minutes? We always do a devotion about something, you know, usually Proverbs or something. I said, I would love to. So I showed up for the adults and for the youth, and I shared the gospel, and they were really receptive. Even the adults clapped, and I was really, because it's a mixed crowd of Muslims and Catholic background. And so as part of the talk I gave them, I said, what does this sacrifice mean exactly? What does it mean that He's the sacrifice? And then I said, well, imagine you're on the sidewalk, just walking, and you see a boy cut in front of a car. He's running in front of a car, and you calculate in your mind he's going to die. So you rush out, push him out of the way. He lives, but you die. I said, that is sacrifice. And we are all in the street of our sin and condemnation because God is holy. He is sinless. And we cannot fellowship with Him because we have a sin problem. But Jesus Christ pushed us as the perfect sacrifice, pushed us out of the way, and took all of our sin upon Himself on that cross and died for us in our place. And we are alive just as if we had never sinned. That's what the word justification means, just as if you had never sinned. You are, before God, blameless before His eyes because He so loved you that He sent His Son to die for you. And so that's the message I shared with them. And I never ask in mixed crowds, raise your hand if you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ right now, because there's serious repercussions if you raise your hand. There's death that night at home with an honor killing. There's a parable about a seed going in the ground and it's covered and you don't see it growing. Remember that parable in Mark? And so that seed, we don't need to just highlight in front of everyone, but it will grow and they'll have someone to come to, their coaches or to me. if they have believed and believed this gospel of the Lord. So, wow, we got to share. And now I'm going to return to the story I began with. I was there in the streets of Bethlehem. I went into that hardware store. And that man, he was warning me, be careful, you're a Christian. And I don't think I have to be careful at all. So I sit down with him. And he began to share how, you know, you can't believe the Bible, it's been changed. And so I gently responded to that. I said, well, you know, I believe that God is almighty. Do you believe that? He said, yeah. I said, well, I believe God's almighty, all-powerful, and there's no one more powerful than him to change his word, to hide his word from us, that he has preserved his word for us. Lots of great evidence for that, physical evidence, the Dead Sea Scrolls, and the word of God's preserved. But he's like, oh, well, I said, is there someone more powerful than God? And he's like, well, no, but. So we began to talk. Then the next time I went, I had another great talk with him. And at the end, he said, William, I'd like you to come to my house. Come, we're breaking fast. It's the month of Ramadan. Would you come to my house for a meal? I'm like, absolutely. That sounds great. And so he told me the village where he is from. And that was very exciting. Let me tell you why. So we had a van for about a decade there in the Middle East, there in the Holy Land. And every time we'd leave Beit Jala, we'd go to Jerusalem, this one particular road on this one particular hillside. And on the other side of the valley from us was this village, 100% Muslim, called Husayn. And it's fundamentalist. It's a fundamentalist village, and we know there's no workers going there. And I would pray for about a decade, Lord, send someone to that village. I would see it, Lord, send someone to that village as we drove by. And this man from the hardware store is from Husayn. So I was thanking God. Thank you, Lord, you answered my prayer with me. I always love when he does that. So I went to the hardware store. Then he took us that one night to his house. And I didn't have good reception, so Larissa was worried for about 6 hours there. She would send messages to the friends. Please pray for William. He's been gone 2 hours. Dangerous village. Please pray for William. He's been gone 4 hours. Please pray for him. And I was fine, though. The first minute, I knew it was going to be a totally safe situation. And so there I was meeting his adult sons. He has 7 adult sons and many grandchildren. And they move us to the dinner table. And there they have this delicacy of fish. It's really a good dish. And to my left was one of his sons who was the leader of the mosque. He had memorized the Quran and he teaches Quran in the village. And so there I was next to probably the most important person in the village spiritually. And I began to talk with him. And there's this misunderstanding Muslims have. It says 19 times in the Quran that God does not have a son. And it accuses Christians of believing something like Greek mythology where a god in the pantheon takes a human wife and has babies, has sex and has babies. I'm like, that's not what we believe. And so I began to gently show him that when we say the word son, it does not mean that God took a wife. And he was getting the picture, and he could sort of say, okay, yes, I could see your perspective. But he, you know, there he is. He's got to be careful what he says. But he was open to listening. And then I shared more about Christ with the rest of the family. And at the end, they said, William, come back and bring your family next time. And I'm so happy they did, because I want to go back and have more Bible study with this family. Because God has put a love in my heart for these guys. And I want to keep going back. So pray for that village. Pray for that family. In this dark room of the Middle East, people are getting to hear. And you know, the word of God, it says, is sharper than a two-edged sword, that it pierces. It really does. The word of God does help us to find God and to find this love. And nothing can stop it. So we're so blessed. I could share more stories from the Middle East, but I wanted to share two more from coming back to the States. So we come back to the States usually for summers to speak in summer camps, to have our kids go to summer camps, and I think it's a great ministry. Summer camps are a great ministry. I came to Faith at a camp, so I love camps. And so we sent our kids there, and that's what we do in the summers. But this time we came back, and the Lord opened the door in May to go to Florida. Now, I have a strong rule. I never like to be in Florida past March 15th. You know why? Summer starts, humidity, yeah, it can kill you. It can kill you there. Well, I'm a wimpy Californian, you know, so. Anyhow, but the Lord opened the door in May, and I thought, okay, I'm not going to like it, but praise God, like, let's go through this door. And our friend who's a widow there, she loves our family like we're her own family. She said, you're coming 12 days to my house. If people want to have you over, nope, they have to come to my house and I will feed them, but you're at my house. And so we had a blast there. We had a wonderful time. But as she picked us up at the airport there in Florida, She said, by the way, my two grandkids, they're going to join you for a week. They want to come and see your kids. And she says, I want them to do devotions with you. We're like, wonderful. Now, these two kids come from really a non-Christian home. The dad is anti-Christian. He really hates Christianity. And the mom was away from the Lord, but has recently come back. So they really don't know much about the Lord. So anyway, the next day they come, and we set up our times of Bible study. And in the morning, we just had devotions. We prayed for one another, and then we looked at John chapter 1. And as we went through it, we talked about how Jesus Christ is God. We talked about the Trinity. We talked about his death for our sins. We talked about how the world rejected him. We talked about his love for us, his resurrection. And by the end of the 7 days, as we'd gone through chapter 1, grandmother says to Maya, the 13-year-old granddaughter, Maya, we've shared about Jesus with you. Do you believe what we shared? And Maya says, yes, I do. And then I led Maya in a prayer to receive the Lord. And it was just a simple prayer. Lord, thank you that you sent Jesus Christ, that he has covered my sins to be totally forgiven. He's the perfect sacrifice. And that he rose from the grave to give me eternal life. And I'll be in heaven with him. So she received the Lord and she was in tears at the end. And the next week, she told her grandmother, took her to church, and at church, she told everyone, I'm a Christian now. And she went to her mom and said, Mom, we're going to do devotions every day like the Hernandez family. I thought, what a praise that she's now just being discipled at home with her mom who's come back to faith. What a joy. It's sometimes okay to go to Florida past March 15th. It's got to have a good reason, though. And one other thing from Florida. As we were leaving Winter Haven and going back to Orlando, our friend took half of us and the other half had to get an Uber. And we looked at the Uber driver. They were going to take me and two daughters an hour and a half towards Orlando. And the name of the driver was Ikram. I thought, that's an Arabic name. God, what are you going to do here? And so Ikram arrives, opens the back of our car. We put baggage in and we say, hey, Ikram, your name's Arabic. Where are you from? She says, I'm from Morocco. We said, we've been to Fez there in Morocco. She said, I'm from Fez. And her family's still there. And so, wow, what a good connection. We get in the car, and for an hour and a half, we're speaking in Arabic. And after 5 minutes, Ikram says to me, you know, William, I've had two dreams of Jesus. And that's always good news when a Muslim's had a dream of Jesus, which means they're coming to faith at some point very soon. And so I said, please tell me your dream. She said, in her dream, it was totally dark. And her family was sick. And Jesus reached down with his hand full of water. The water went onto her hand, covered her, healed her, and healed her family. I said, Ikram, that is a beautiful dream. Can I share a verse from the Bible with you about how Jesus gives water? And she said, absolutely. So I opened up the Bible app in Arabic, and I read from John chapter 4, where Jesus says that he's giving water. And it's the kind where you're never going to be thirsty again. And when he gives it to you, it's going to become like a well of water within you, springing up to eternal life. She said, that's the water he gave me. That's it. And I thought, praise you, Lord. So I sent her the verse by WhatsApp. I sent it to her, and now she has the Bible app as well, because it's connected. And then I began to talk about how Jesus is the Son of God. And she had never understood it. She said, thank you. I had never understood it that way. And that was beautiful. And then I spoke about the death of Christ, the perfect sacrifice, and shared some testimonies. She told me that she came to America. She knew it was God who got her here because she won the visa lottery. And you can get that from different countries, come to America and work and so on and become a citizen. And she married some guy who's from Puerto Rican background. I said, okay. And so as we get about a block and a half away from the final destination, Orlando, she prays a prayer in Arabic, Istaghfirullah, which means may God forgive us of our sins. Now, I have written this little gospel tract, available on Amazon, by the way. Just kidding. I mean, it is, but yeah. And it's four languages, English, Arabic, Spanish, and Russian. And it just simply clarifies what the gospel is, and there's a prayer to receive the Lord at the end. And I had a copy with me. So as I got out and we're getting our baggage out, I say, hey, Ikram, this is a booklet I've written about the gospel. I'd love for you to read it and let me know what you think. So she took it and she sees my name. It's at the bottom there, William Hernandez. She says, your name is William Hernandez? I was like, yeah, it's my name. She says, that's the name of my husband. And she backs up. She's like holding onto her car. But I thought, praise you, Lord, even you're using my name to get a hold of her. So she read the booklet and said, thank you for the message. You know, at the end, there's a prayer to receive the Lord. So I pray that if she hasn't received him yet, she's going to receive him soon. And then I sent her the Jesus film in Arabic, and I'm hoping that that also blesses her. There is a dark room of the United States. And yet, don't worry about that. You are light in the darkness as you share. You know, one of my prayers I usually pray is, Lord, give me your courage. I don't know if you're like me, but I need his courage to share. I get kind of nervous at times and hesitate. I say, God, give me your heart of compassion for those who have never experienced your love yet. The love of God, for God so loved you that he gave his son. Like, God, give me your compassion for this world. And you know what? God gives me his compassion, a portion of it. He gives me courage, a portion of his courage. And I go forward. I ask you to consider saying that prayer for yourself every day. Lord, lead me to the ones who are hungry, the ones who need to hear about your love, that have never heard about it, and give me compassion, give me courage. Some people ask me, is it dangerous? Is it dangerous? And is it safe overseas? And that really is the wrong question, isn't it? I mean, the question is, what are you called to do? And do it. What has God called you to do? That's the one person you have to answer to, right? Do we have this kingdom mindset? What has your king told you to do, and are you doing it? That's the question. Not is it safe, right? You have to go out to do what the king wishes for you to do. You don't have to come back. Just do what he says. He's the king you're going to spend eternity with. And then the real question also, beyond what has he called you to, is a question I want you to remember when you're hesitating. You who have received the Lord already, you're going to hesitate. Should I share with this person? Should I not share? Should I share? Should I not share? Right? You go back and forth sometimes. I want you to ask yourself this one question. Is hell a safe place? Is separation from God, from the love of God, from the embrace of God forever a safe place? Is it safe? No. That's the real question. So let that person decide if they want to have the love of God, cleanse them of their sins. Let them decide. You don't decide for them. You are just the mailman, the mail carrier, the loving mail carrier, right? Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for my brothers and sisters here this morning. Thanks for those who may have heard the gospel for the first time today. Lord, help those know that they can receive the gift of you by simply praying a simple prayer. Lord, thank you that you have sent Jesus Christ because you so love me and you want to save me from what's destroying me and destroying others. And Lord, I receive this gift of Jesus Christ right now into my heart. I receive him who has died for me to cleanse me. And I receive him not only for dying, but for raising from the grave to live eternally. Thank you that he is infinite and can be in all of our hearts at the same time and my heart right now. And Lord, I thank you for those who have received the Lord this morning. You know who they are. Also, Lord, thank you for my brothers and sisters who have followed your call to do what you have called them to do, to be salt and light right here in perhaps the hardest county of all counties, Sonoma County. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. Let them be filled with your courage, with your compassion to speak love and speak John 3:16, this message of hope and light we have to this dying world, this broken world, this destroyed world, that they can experience your love as well. And Lord, we lift up to you the Muslims of this world. Send more workers to them to share this message of love. In Jesus' name.